and welcome to another episode of Create Loud. I'm your host, Rachel Robison, and with me is my other host, Cody Crabb. Welcome back, by the way.
Hello. Yeah, we've been actually doing episodes now. It feels good.
Yeah, and I mean, the past couple episodes, we've missed you.
We have. So we have. I'm back. I'm here for good. Yeah. My wife just had surgery on her spine. That's why I've been gone. Is because I've been taking care of her.
Gosh. But
she's doing better every day. Things are looking up. It's been great. She's feeling better than she's already feeling better than she did before. Which that's not a good
I'm
sign
so
of how she
glad
felt
to
before.
Hear that.
Yeah.
Jeez. And she's like, she's super strong. In so many capacities. So I knew that she'd bounce back pretty fast.
Yeah, and she's young too. That really helps. Whenever we go to her doctor, like everyone in the waiting rooms are like these old people, like, and she's like 24 years old, and it just looks hilarious because she's the only young person.
Oh my gosh!
But we're back now. Things are good. Good. And I feel like I've been doing nothing but like creating content. Like I've been recording tons of podcasts with you, and I've been recording podcasts on my other podcast, Shameless Plug. It's awesome. You should go listen to it. Constantly just everything I'm doing is just creating stuff.
I'm sure. I bet that feels good. Also,
it does.
Adding on to your plug there, you're that blindfolded blind date video. I've never laughed so hard ever.
Okay. For those of you that don't know, I have a YouTube channel. And my friend and I, we basically just do stuff.
It's
great. And
we do
new stuff. We do like interesting stuff. And I thought how funny would it be if we did a blind date, but literally like he was blind. We put a blindfold on him. He went on a date with a girl he had actually never met before. It was so funny. It was even better being there,
yeah.
Obviously, but we got the highlights on that
bet.
Video. It was amazing. Yeah. What about you though? What have you been up to?
Oh, Cody, we don't have enough time to dive into this. I am really not liking working from home right now.
Shock.
And so I'm thinking about my options.
That surprises
me.
I mean, you would think, you know, with all we've talked about, you would think that would be...
Are you being sarcastic? You are being sarcastic.
I'm actually not. I was actually thinking, like, with all that we've talked about of, like, all the freedom and having things like that, you would think that would be something you'd love, but...
That's the thing, is I realized that I want to be working from home doing something I actually want to do. So like I'm sitting here literally in the room that I have designated as my studio, and I'm doing something that is the complete opposite of joy for me right now. Like I just do not like my job right now. I'm so thankful to have one, of course, but I'm at a crossroads right now with like and I think it's because of spending all this time working at home. Like I really thought that I would enjoy it a lot, and I have, for a lot of different reasons, but
well, you have a dog that probably helps.
Yeah, that really helps. She brings so much joy to my life.
The problem that you have actually sounds like it could be solved by today's guest. Actually,
I think you're right. Why don't we just dive right in?
Yeah, she's awesome. We can't wait for you to hear this conversation. We are going to talk today to Allie Gardner. She does everything. She's a recording artist. She's a public speaker. She's a vocal coach. We'll get all into that in today's conversation. She will help you figure out how to shape what it is you want to do with your life if you don't know. And this is going to be such a good conversation. I cannot wait for you guys to hear it.
What is up, Allie?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, you know, the usual quarantine life these days, but not much. Just
so exciting.
Didn't slow us down one bit because we've been doing stuff remotely before it was cool.
That's true. Same here.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's been a net positive for you. I know that you've been working on a lot of stuff, and so that's we'll talk all about that. Sounds like we've got a lot to cover, and I'm excited about it.
Yay.
All right, so Allie, you are a musician and all kinds of things. I would say you would maybe call yourself primarily a musician. Would that be right?
Yes. I'm a musician with many interests. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. If anyone understands that, it's Rachel and me, for sure. We probably would both call ourselves that as well.
100%.
So tell us your story a little bit. Like, how did you get involved in music? What's been your journey to bring you to this point right now?
So I started singing when I was just really little, which is the story of every singer ever, I feel like. But I did not grow up in, like, a particularly musical family. A lot of professional musicians have these stories of like, my dad was this famous singer and he taught me everything he knew. That wasn't really the case for me. My family, they're super awesome, but it wasn't like music was our thing. My brother and sister both did sports and dance, and my parents are just kind of your average, wonderful, above average in everything except kind of like music. So we lived next door to kind of a self-proclaimed opera singer when I was really little, and she'd open up all the doors and windows and just sing at the top of her lungs. And I feel like that's kind of what my very first introduction to music was imitating this self-proclaimed opera singer from my high chair. And
is it just me, or does that sound like a Pixar short?
It does sound you know like what a Pixar short.
Like the little girl, like, hears, like, she's like daydreaming out her window, hearing the lady sing next door.
Oh, I can totally see 100%. It. Disney, do it. And then when I was about 5 years old, my parents were actually in a really serious car accident, and my mom was in the hospital for a long time. And oh, I was obviously just really little, and so my mom and I would sit in her hospital bed and watch musicals on repeat over and over and over again, specifically Les Mis and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Shout out Donny Osmond. I still love you. and so just over the years in my childhood, I just was always singing all the time, everywhere I went. And eventually my mom's like, okay, we've got to do something with this never-ending singing girl. And so they got me in lessons with just this amazing lady in my neighborhood. And after a couple years, she was like, I love ya. I don't have anything else to teach you. You know all the things that I can teach you. And so we went hunting for a vocal coach. And I ended up training with Dean Kalin. And he is just this absolutely phenomenal vocal coach in Salt Lake, and he trained like Carmen Rasmussen and David Archuleta and a bunch of other really amazing people. But he just kind of became my mentor and my friend, and really helped me kind of develop my voice into being able to do all sorts of different kinds of styles and different things, and has really pushed me over the years, and eventually kind of became a mentor in vocal coaching as well. And right now I teach in his studio and at my own home studio. But so it all kind of stemmed from those lessons and doing musical theater, and eventually I ended up at BYU for my education, and I'll get into kind of how this all happened later, because it was all kind of an accident. But I ended up
isn't it always though, like, I think that's a pattern, really. Like, everyone's kind of like, well, I didn't mean to, but here I am, I guess
it is. Yeah, absolutely that way. So I guess I'll just tell you the story. But in 2017, I actually had kind of this crazy year where my parents and all of my family were living out of state, and I had just barely gotten home from a mission in Mexico. I had lived in Mexico for 18 months and just kind of like...
In what part?
I was in Cancun, which sounds like...
Oh, nice.
Island paradise. I was also kind of out in the jungle where there really isn't any beach or anything. It's just really, really hot.
No,
and there's
I actually completely understand this problem, because I was on my mission, I was on the other coast in Los Cabos, like in San Jose and San Lucas. So whenever I tell anybody, they're like, oh, lucky. And I'm like, no, I wear a shirt and tie like next to the beach. Like that was 2 years.
Totally. I served on Cozumel for 3 months. So I totally feel ya.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
I was in Mazatlan. Like, come on.
Anyways, I got home from my mission and I was just kind of alone. Like, my family was gone. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I ended up having a lot of friends randomly pass away that year. And so I was just kind of like in a total funk. I didn't really know what to do with my life, major-wise or career-wise or like anything. Everything was just kind of turned upside down. So I ended up running away to Jerusalem and studying abroad there for a little while.
Whoa.
And
wow,
this will play into the story later. But
most people like get a dog or something. Like, that's a you know.
My friends like to make fun of me because every time a crisis happens, I run to a different country. It's like a real thing.
I mean, that doesn't sound like the worst idea though. But okay, yeah, for real. I need to hear the rest of this.
So, while I was at BYU, after my Jerusalem adventures and kind of trying to get my life together, from all of these friends that had passed away from the most random things. Like, one of them was in the London terrorist attack. One of them had a seizure completely out of the blue.
Oh my gosh.
One of them was hit by a truck on his motorcycle. Anyway, it's just it was just crazy. So I was just kind of looking for something to make me feel like myself again, because I felt totally like a fish out of water. And I walked past auditions for BYU Noteworthy. And I don't know if anybody knows about BYU Noteworthy, but they're like...
Wait, like the one that was on that acapella American Idol show?
Yeah, the sing-off.
Wait, you weren't in that, were you? Were you in it like during that?
No, that was a couple years ago. But it's like the female equivalent of Vocal Point, for those who don't know what that is. It's all acapella.
Which is the all-male version of Pentatonix, for anyone who doesn't know that.
Very good. This is a great way to orient people. But I walked past auditions for that and was kind of like, cool, I guess I'm just going to go audition right now. And it was totally random because I had not thought about what I was going to sing, or I had never really planned on being in Noteworthy or doing anything like that. But I walked into my audition and the director said, "Okay, what are you going to sing?" And I was like, Titanium. I'm like, do I even know the words to Titanium? Titanium. And it was probably the worst audition I've ever had in my life. And I was like, well, that defeated the purpose of feeling better, but whatever. And then I got callbacks and it was like, wait, are you kidding me? That was the worst audition I've ever had. And I went to callbacks.
I'm going to interrupt you, because Rachel, doesn't it sound like she's describing like scenes in a movie? Like she walked in there, like she literally saw a flyer that said auditions right now. And she goes, okay. And walks in and goes, I'm going to sing the Cups song sitting in the front of the stage. You know what I mean? Like,
this is very, yes. But it, like in a good way, not like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
but like in a way that like, it seems so random that it seems like it couldn't possibly be that easy and that simple, but sometimes it is. I don't know. Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
No, you're great. Honestly, that's kind of the way I feel like my life has been. It's been a bunch of well-timed accidents that turned out okay. Anyway, long story short, I ended up getting into BYU Noteworthy, and it just kind of like brought all the light back into my life when I was feeling so lost. And at the same time that I got into Noteworthy, a couple months later, probably 2 or 3 months after I got into Noteworthy, a whole bunch of my wonderful friends from Mexico were like, sing some songs for us on the internet. And I was just kind of like, yeah, well, I'm not going to do a music career. So I just declared my major ancient Near Eastern studies, biblical Hebrew emphasis. I'm going to be a professor.
I was just going to ask, and that is just not what I expected. Because I was thinking what you were going to say was, I'm going to do something safe, you know, like I'm going to be an accountant or something like that. And then you're like, oh no, we're going to do Near Eastern. It was long enough that I literally don't even remember you said it 2 seconds ago.
Well, that's just kind of the way I'd roll. I do the most random things especially when I'm feeling like a fish out of water. Anyway, so
that sounds so refreshing. Sorry, go ahead. I just wish I was like that sometimes.
So I finally just decided to record I Am a Child of God in Mayan and Spanish and English. Just throw a little video together, throw it in with some footage of my recent trip to Mexico, which of course that was one of those times when I just kind of had no idea what I was doing with my life. And so I called one of the girls that I was on my mission with and said, hey, you want to go to Mexico at like 1 o'clock in the morning? And we bought tickets on a whim and then we went for a month. Anyway.
Wow.
So I took the footage from that random runaway trip, and just put it together with that song and posted it for my mission friends. And all of a sudden it went viral. And it was like,
I saw it at the time, actually.
And I was just like, so floored. I was like, well, this is interesting. Like, I was not planning on doing this. Like, I had decided that music was something I loved, but I wasn't going to do it as a career. And then that happened. And so I decided, you know what, maybe I'll give this music career another thought. And so I started recording more music and putting it out and performing different places, doing public speaking engagements all over the place. And it just kind of spiraled from there, between being on tour with Noteworthy and my own music career and starting to teach voice lessons. It's like all of a sudden this kind of on a whim video and kind of on a whim audition and kind of on a whim everything that I've done ended up being this really amazing and very fulfilling career. And now this is my full-time job. I run my own voice studio while recording music, and I have, because I've learned so many random languages, I do it in all sorts of languages to connect with people all over the world. So it's been a really amazing journey, and it's kind of random and crazy, but it's been really, really amazing.
I love that. Holy cow. That is just like,
yeah.
If you look back on like big things that happened in your life and you think like, oh, if I didn't do that, what would have happened? It probably would have still happened if it's meant to happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's a pretty cool, like, significant event to happen for you that you can like pinpoint and be like, you know, just to have that spark where you're at now and not really expecting to fall into that. That's amazing.
I think that my favorite stories of people finding what they wanted to do with their life were just kind of just like you said, like you go, I'm following this career path and that taught me how to do this, which made me go, huh, I guess I really like doing this and this and this. And so it really just is a hodgepodge of lots of different things. And really if you think about it, that's how humans are. So why do we put ourselves in this box of I have talent A and so I have to be A? Like, that doesn't make any sense when you think about it, you know. The reason that Rachel and I started this podcast is because we both went, hey, we both can record and know how to do audio things because we are both composers and we are both passionate about people doing what they love. Let's start a podcast. And we did. and 2 years later, we're still doing it. But that's what I mean. I never thought I would be like my main source of work now. Like I'm diving into podcast production. Like, I didn't expect to be doing that. I thought I'd be a movie composer, but because I followed this thing just on a whim, that's like my whole career path has changed now. And so, you know, sometimes you just have to be spontaneous. And also, I love that you actually took a step in a direction. Like you did a thing and then you went, oh, looks like that's working. I guess that's what I'm doing now. And then you did it. But that wouldn't have happened unless you had actually, you know, put yourself out there with this video.
I totally agree. And I think a lot of times just artist types are so, we're so open to any way the wind goes. We really like a lot of different things, but I think because the world likes to put, you know, everyone in the world likes to put themselves in a box. Like you said, I am an accountant. I am a business person. I am a blank. I am a blank. And so I think artists kind of fall into that trap of thinking, okay, so I'm an artist, which means I just get to sit on my couch and play my guitar, record it, and post it. Like, I just do that. And I think what my personal journey has taught me is, you know what? I can be super passionate about the most random things, like ancient Near Eastern studies. I can love picking apart the Hebrew in the Hebrew Bible. I can love, like with my entire heart and soul, my amazing Latin community. I can love being an advocate for getting to know different people of different religions, different cultures. I can love to sing. And you know what? I can love to teach too. I can love to help people with social media. I can love to like help people connect or learn to do songwriting. Like, it doesn't have to be, okay, so I'm a singer, so that means I'm just going to try out for American Idol and I'm just going to be a singer. You know, you can literally do everything.
People fall into that trap so easily of like, there is one talent equals one thing. I mean, if you like music, you can be a music producer. You can be a music teacher. You can be a music critic. You could write about music. There's so many things you can do. And all of those things involve other types of talents, not just being passionate about music. So I think that's so, that really, I think that might be one of the reasons that people have such a hard time deciding what they want to do with their lives, I think, because they're not creative enough. I mean, I've said this before, like, you know, I think one of the reasons I wanted to be a social media manager is because I look at Wendy's Twitter, right? Like, they just pick a brand and they just roast the heck out of someone, like, as they're posting. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They tweet at Zayn Malik at 2 a.m, you up? Like, that's hilarious, right? Like, I want to be like that. And so, like, I always think people aren't creative enough when they think what they want to do with their lives. And I think you're a perfect example of someone that is just like, I don't care. I'll do everything, whatever. Like, that just is so cool to me. Cause it seems like you really have started to kind of, you have like a lane, but it's the widest lane. Like, I was just reading through your website of your bio and I was like, there are so many things that she does. I just can't even get over this.
Well, and I think it's been really interesting because you would think that by doing so many different things, like, a lot of times you hear about how a brand has a niche or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like being a jack of all trades has become my niche. Being able to connect with people that are on the complete opposite side of the world from me, that have a totally, totally separate life, and yet I'm able to reach them because I'm a jack of all trades. It's not like I'm just singing for one person. It's really like everyone. But
I did hear an argument. You hear a lot about like, oh, focus on the thing that, you know, get really good at the one thing. But I heard a really interesting argument about that recently, which was, that's great if people only need one thing, but like, maybe they need a graphic designer that is fluent in French, or you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And if you have this kind of diverse branding, I mean, I was just telling Rachel, I work for a podcast production company in Florida. And they were like, I applied as an editor, but I didn't have like the most experience and I wasn't like the greatest person there were probably people with like audio engineering experience that I didn't have, but it turned out they were looking for a social media manager, a composer, a podcast editor at the same time. And so it was just like, oh, okay, like, so I'm exactly what you needed. And so I got the job, but I wouldn't have if I didn't have all these qualifications. And it's funny because I'm probably not the greatest of any of those things, but combined, I was the perfect fit for this. So you're absolutely
right. And I feel like it doesn't really matter. I'm not fluent up to my brains in Spanish. I make mistakes. Sure, I consider myself fluent because I can talk pretty much about anything with anyone in Spanish, but I'm not native. But I speak Spanish all the time and I do it all the time. Am I the most fluent in Hebrew? No way. I have no idea. I could not carry on an intelligible conversation, but I could discuss ancient history of Israel and when things happened and, you know, like the Babylonian conquest, or, you know, I could.
Yeah, I'd say that's light years ahead of most people. So
I could, you know, edit a song basically, but I'm not like an amazing editor. But the thing is, I haven't had anybody to really like say, okay, child, let me give you my music empire. I've had to say, okay, YouTube, what are you going to teach me today?
That's a really good point. Yeah, and I love that.
Like, in order to be...
all the resources, why not use them?
Yeah, in order to be successful, you don't have to be born into an empire anymore. You can say, you know what? I'm going to Google, what is the best kind of thing to have my own recording studio set up? Okay, I'm going to talk to any engineers I know and know how to, you know, find a good recording studio setup. Because
we have the internet, you know, like you can make contact with people that you never would have been able absolutely. To even like 40 years ago. Like, you would never be able to find who these people are. Like, what, look them up in the phone book? You know what I mean?
Like, the opportunities are endless and the connections are endless. And I think the other thing that people get kind of tripped up on, especially in kind of creative industries, is kind of thinking of networking as in people are not people, they're like a means to an end. And so it's like,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I need to know about production, so I'm gonna go ask a recording studio engineer all I know about that, but I'm not gonna treat them as a human. They're a means to an end. And then exactly. you don't actually get what you're looking for, because what we all really need is a really good friend and a really good mentor who happens to have the information that we need to know. And so I feel like it's more about the people you connect with and less about the actual facts that you get in your brain from them or the experiences that you get from them. It's the person, not the brain, that you're actually seeking for.
Yeah, I could not agree more.
I actually have a quick story about this. Yeah. So when I was fresh out of college, and I'll note, I'm a dropout, proud to say it, whatever. I learned a lot anyway. It's fine. My brother told me he knew this composer that lives in his neighborhood, and he was like, worked on like Hallmark films and stuff like that. And I was like, awesome, this is my chance. Like, I can get like an in with this guy, and then he can like get me into the industry. And I like went over to his house, and like he talked to me about stuff, and I remember being like, well, what's like, how's this supposed to work? Like, I talked to him and he just kind of was like, yeah, cool, yeah, and but nothing else happened. And then it took me years to realize, like, of course he didn't really like try to do anything. Like, it's very obvious that I was like, okay, hello future career, in packaged in this neat little box. Like, that's not how it's supposed to work. Like, I'm supposed to, like, you know, be his friend and help him out and get to know him and things like that. But I totally made that exact mistake, because I just kind of saw him as like, he's a composer and he's my meal ticket, you know?
Yeah, totally. I feel like that's a lot so of people true. Make that mistake though, and that's just something. Like, yeah. I feel like you're better off learning that earlier when you start to network with people, because that's, yeah, you know, that's something that I say all the time is, the example I use a lot is like the mall kiosk salesman, where you're like, you only know they're talking to you because they want your money.
And, exactly.
You know, making that connection and like talking with them with dollar sign eyes. It really is. Because it's like, you're talking to them because you feel bad and you're like, oh, they just want to do their job. And
my wife, if my wife says one word to them, I know that they've got her. Like, there's no chance that she's not going to buy whatever it is.
I have fallen. Yes, I have definitely almost purchased a whole thing of lotion because I tried a sample. But like,
they freaking grab your hand. You can't help it.
There's no escape. But I mean, there can be.
I could do a whole podcast just about that. But
I don't know if you guys have seen the Studio C about that, but it's. Go look up the Studio C about the mall people. They're like hiding from the mall guy. Anyway,
that was, I have. That was
sounds
so hilarious.
That sounds hilarious and so relatable, because that is like a pet peeve of mine. So I will for sure watch that.
Just a comment so on funny. Your drop out of college thing. I just have to put this out into the world that I had 7 college majors. And so for all of you college students out there who are like, I have no idea what to do with my life, you know what? There's a future for you, and it's going
to
work
Why
out.
Why did you do that to yourself? Do you switch 7 times?
I switched
or 6 times,
7,
I guess.
Yeah, 6 times until I ended up at my 7th. I was a potential music, dance, theater major. I was a communication disorders major. I was a special education major. I was a special education severe emphasis. I transferred to Utah State for 1 week to do their music therapy program. Had an existential crisis, went back to BYU.
I have a friend that did that. Interesting.
Back to communication disorders. Oh, JK, that was before. Then I did ancient Near Eastern studies, and I finally ended up in, you guessed it, general studies business.
That's literally the last thing I expected you to say.
Yes, because this is why. I was an ancient Near Eastern studies major and absolutely loved every single second of it. It was incredible. Other than writing like forever long papers on Canaanite pottery, which kind of sucked, but yeah, who wants to know that much about Canaanite pottery? But
I'm not gonna lie, well, that sounds awful, but if I if you don't care about that, then it must be.
I definitely,
because you sound like you care so much more than I do.
Anyway, after my kind of business took off with teaching and music and things, I realized, wow, I have a business and I have no idea how to run it. And so I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to do business, and I'm going to end off on business. And that's kind of something that, like, I've met some other people that have done general studies, and they've kind of been like, well, I feel like it's a total cop-out. But honestly, I have learned so much from having 7 majors that it's been, like, really cool to see how it's kind of related in every part of my life as well. I'll be speaking at a fireside for a bunch of people, and there will be somebody that has special needs, and I'll be able to use some of the American Sign Language I learned as a communication disorders major. Or, you know, like, it's just... So, for anybody out there who is listening that is kind of trying to figure out what in the world they're doing in college, there is hope. There is a future. And I promise it will work out. And it's worth it.
I think that this, you're pointing out something really important, which is there's no such thing as bad knowledge. Like,
yeah,
you're never, even if you don't quote unquote use it, like if it's not something that is useful to you, I still think that like it's worth, sometimes just the act of learning, especially if it's something that you're passionate about. I think that's a great thing. I don't think there's anything that is better than that, really. I mean, that's the one thing that everybody can have in common, is that everybody can learn and continue to grow. You can't learn everything. And so follow what you love, even if you're not going to do it as a career. I mean, it sounds like, yeah, Near Eastern studies, like it sounds like you could chat about that for a whole hour without even stopping.
Oh, and I would love it.
You're still passionate about it. Yeah. When we start that podcast, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, that's what I mean, is like, I feel like you don't have to lose one passion just because you have another one. And it's, and those skills have completely come in handy for you for that exact reason. So that's amazing.
I'm glad that you touched on like using that skill in a completely different scenario. Cause whether it's, you know, what you decide to or can't decide to study in college, or if it's a day job situation, which that's kind of a realization that I made recently of like skills, like it's important to have skills in life. And it's, on top of just learning, like Cody was saying, and then also being able to use that in a situation, is just like, it's really just a win-win for you, you know, just being able to be well-rounded in a bunch of areas and have that come in handy in a random situation like that.
I don't feel like I would have had the passionate type of music career I wanted to had I not experienced the things I did as an ancient Near Eastern studies major. Going to Jerusalem and being able to talk to a Muslim and learn a little bit of Arabic and learn about what is Ramadan, what do you do on Ramadan, or being able to talk to my awesome Jewish professor that, you know, took me to synagogue one day with a group of students, and I was able to like have a day kind of living like somebody, like a Jew that I've, you know, maybe I would never would have had that experience, or, you know, being able to talk with somebody that lives in a tiny little village in Mexico and has none of the things that I've been blessed with in my life, but is so stinking happy. Like just getting to meet people from so many different perspectives, and then to be able to take that and put those type of experiences and those feelings into an album has been totally rewarding for me. The album that I'm about to release in a couple of weeks has 8 languages on it. It has...
Holy cow.
It has Arabic, Hebrew, English, Swahili, Mayan, Spanish, Portuguese. Oh, what am I missing? Mayan, Spanish, Portuguese. Hold on, let me look at the track list.
Yeah, well, as soon as you start naming languages and you can't remember all of them.
I'm already impressed. One language. It's
I can, wow. You know, I'll tell you, English and Spanish, and I'm really proud of the two that I have. I'll just tell you that. I think that's a lot.
Just English. Oh, Korean. Korean's what I was missing.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So being able to like relate to people who speak all these languages, and even though I don't know everything about all the cultures in the world, just being able to like travel and see how people live in China, see how people live in Mexico, go see how life is like for orphans in Argentina. I went and built a little orphanage a couple years ago. Or
of course you did.
You know, getting to go inside the pyramids in Egypt, and getting to go down this little boat in this river in Indonesia. Like, I love to just see what life is like for people all over the place and be able to share that love and respect and really admiration for these people through my musical talents. It's just been a really rewarding experience. And so I'm so grateful that my life has taken all these weird twists and turns, because I really don't think that I ever would have been able to get to know the amazing people that I have, or be able to really appreciate and understand people who have different beliefs and different cultures and different languages. It's just been really, really rewarding, and I'm really grateful. So,
yeah, I can imagine. Wow. And I think it's so cool that you can kind of touch these little pockets of people instead of just kind of a general audience. Like, these people are going to care so much about this because they see this connection you're trying to make. So I think that's
really neat. And honestly, they're my friends. Like, I get tons of messages every single day, especially on my Facebook page, from all of these incredible people that are like, hey, I'm going through this and this has been really hard for me. Could you sing this song that would make me feel better? And so, you know, I hop on for 2 seconds and sing it live for them, and they become my friends. They become people that are like, okay, if you're ever in the Dominican Republic, let me know because I'm going to take you to my favorite beach. Or
that if is you're, so amazing.
If you're ever in Argentina, you know, let's go back to Iguazu Falls. Or, you know, it's just been so rewarding to make these truly treasured friendships that I never think I would have had I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to go for the mainstream. And mainstream works for some people because they reach the people they need to reach. But for me, my people are the people that are overlooked, the people that are sometimes oppressed, the people who are in poverty, the people who are really going through really incredibly difficult times, people that can't feed their families, people that sometimes, honest to goodness, couldn't buy an album if they wanted to because they would have had to pay what they would have paid for groceries for a week. And honestly, I don't care. Like, for me, my music career is not about money. If it was, I wouldn't be in music. It's really, truly about
that sentence right there.
Reaching
so true.
My people. They're like, I'm kind of getting a little teary thinking about it. These people are just like so precious to me that it's just like I couldn't stop if I wanted to. I have to reach my little Wilmer who lives in Peru that sends me messages every day saying, hey, can you sing this song? Like, I just, these are my people. And had I not just let myself go with the flow, I never would have been able to meet them. So anyway, sorry for my...
That's amazing.
For my...
No, honestly, like...
No, loved it.
Someone that's this passionate behind a project that they have, like, that's an artist. I love that. And, okay, how can people listen to this? First of all, when does it come out, and then how can people listen to it?
So there is the version of the album that has these 8 languages on it comes out, supposedly, according to plan... but who knows with coronavirus, it's supposed to come out on June 19th. Obviously there could be some delays as I was telling you guys earlier, there's been some coronavirus delays with getting it into the online stores, but it's supposed to be out on June 19th. And then there's another version of the album that is completely in Spanish because you know where my heart is.
Oh, cool.
That will be out sometime in the middle of July. So there's actually 2 albums, but I just, you know, I was thinking about my sweet people and I couldn't just do it in every language. I had to do one just for them. So
that's amazing. And where can people kind of follow you for updates and like make sure that they know when it's released? Because it's not on a tight schedule.
Yes.
Like
so my Instagram is at Allie, A-L-L-I-E, Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, music with a little underscore. And then Allie Gardner Music on Facebook, Allie Gardner Music on YouTube, my website, www.alliegardnermusic.com. You know, basically just Google Allie Gardner Music and you'll find it.
Yeah, we'll share links to her stuff in the show notes and all over our social media, of course. You know, we do. And on Spotify, are you on like Spotify?
Yeah,
can they follow Spotify, you on
Spotify, iTunes, really like all the streaming sites. I already have
awesome
some songs up there, but obviously the album will be dropping soon, and those are like those are my peak performance kind of dealios. So
awesome, and we'll be sure to share links to those too. So follow us too.
Oh, you know I will, and I'll share this with all of my people.
Yep. Awesome, yeah, we'll be sure to blast this because this has been honestly. I know I say this a lot, but this has been one of my favorite interviews we've ever done.
just so awesome being able to talk with you about all this goodness.
Yeah, honestly.
Pure goodness.
Awesome. And you mentioned that you you teach voice as well. Is that right?
Yes. So I, among all of the things that I'm very passionate about, teaching voice lessons has been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. I love channeling the passion that I have for helping people through my music into teaching and helping, whether it's young kids that are learning how to sing for the first time, develop confidence, or I have an amazing student that has just been through so much trauma in her life, and she's been able to use singing as a way of developing her own voice and finally being able to like take control of her life. And I have other students that are just rocking it, starting their own YouTube channels, and I love watching what they're creating. I just love helping people use the voice they have in the most effective way. Like I told you guys earlier, I trained with Dean Kalin, who is just an incredible vocal coach. He teaches a method called Mix, which I am trained in as well. And I love helping people be able to sing all the way throughout their range without a break in their voice. You know that like awkward spot where it's like, ugh, like you kind of have to, you either get tight and all of a sudden you get really...
Can confirm.
Yes. So with all of my students, I completely get rid of that so that they can sing. Okay, this is weird. I'm just going to demonstrate, you know, teaching.
Please do, yes.
So you can go from the bottom of your range to the top of your range without a break. Ooh! You can sing all the way up, all the way down with no
issue. Yeah, I cannot do that.
So I'm a female bass all the way to a soprano one, which is really fun.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, dang. You can like,
I think I'm,
you can like
bass.
Edit out that little demonstration if you want to. I don't know, that was kind of sick, but
no, I think it was great.
Rachel,
though.
Hey, Rachel is the final judge and jury.
Okay, final judge
these,
and jury.
She's the one you have to convince.
Anyway, if anybody would like to really be able to free their voice and work with me on kind of figuring out what they want to do with their music. I love kind of consulting people on their ideas and kind of helping them find ways to connect all of their skills together to have a really
that sounds like
rewarding
something our
career. So if anybody wants to talk to me or shoot me an email or whatever, I am so happy to kind of help you maybe brainstorm some things that you can do to have a really well-rounded, random career kind of like mine. So feel free to reach out. My email address is info@alliegardnermusic.com. Feel free to reach out whenever you want. I'm so happy to help. Coaching.
We should mention you teach online as well, which is amazing for the time that we're in right now. So that's good.
So that's another one of those random things that just kind of happened. A couple years ago, I had a couple of students that were like, hey, so I live in California and I can't come to Utah to do lessons. Can I maybe just like hop on Zoom and take lessons? And so I've actually been teaching online for several years and have it totally optimized to have like the best teaching experience you can possibly have online. It's really like not that much different. Actually, it's no different than being together in person. And in a lot of ways, there's actually some benefits to it. So now I teach students. I have a student in Wisconsin. I have a couple students in Texas. I have a student in Hawaii. You know, it's just kind of like really random all over the place. For a hot minute, I was teaching a guy from Singapore. I don't really know what ever happened to him. He just kind of dropped off the face of the planet. But if you're listening somewhere... Ernan, his name's Ernan. He's from Singapore. If you're listening somewhere, Ernan, I'd love to see you.
Yeah, get back in touch. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Anyway.
That's so funny.
So if anybody wants to take lessons online, you are welcome to. I have plenty of spots that you can come take. It's kind of hard sometimes to get in, but we'll find a way. So.
Awesome. Love that. Dang. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. This has been such a good
conversation. Yeah, thanks so much. And thanks for sharing your stories as well. I've loved getting to know kind of your composer background a little bit more and learn about you too. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to get in touch with us, make sure you reach out where you're at Create Loud on all of our social media. So make sure you're following us there. If you want to send us a message or an email, make sure to do that. Our email address is podcast@createloud.org. That's it for us.
Go create your life.
Y vívelo en voz alta. And live it out loud.
Sí, una canción sí vi también cuando estaba cantando. Sí, canta muy lindo, muy hermoso. El Padre Celestial ha dado un don muy especial a usted. Wow, pero envíeme saludos ahí cuando termine de grabar su canción, profa. Yo soy de Perú, como le dije, pero en la provincia de Sarumilla, Tumbes. Ese es donde yo vivo, cerca de la frontera de Ecuador. Sería muy lindo escucharla que me envíe un saludo. Abrazo, suerte. Sí, una canción civil.